1 Kings chapter 5, beginning in verse 1. Since this is the words of God and the worship of God, we should hear it in such a way as to offer him the hearing as worship. Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent his servants to Solomon because he heard that they had anointed him king in place of his father. For him, Hiram had always loved David. Then Solomon sent to Hiram, saying, "You know how my father David could not build a house for the name of Yahweh, his God, because of the wars which were fought against him on every side, until Yahweh put his foes under the sole of his feet. But now Yahweh my God has given me rest on every side. There is neither adversary nor evil occurrence. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of Yahweh my God, as Yahweh spoke to my father David, saying, 'Your son, whom I will set on your throne in your place, he shall build the house for my name.' Now therefore command that they cut down cedars for me from Lebanon, and my servants will be with your servants, and I will pay you wages for your servants according to whatever you say. For you know there is none among us who has skill to cut timber like the Sidonians." So it was, when Hiram heard the words of Solomon, that he rejoiced greatly and said, "Blessed be Yahweh this day, for he has given David a wise son over this great people." Then Hiram sent to Solomon, saying, "I've considered the message which you sent me, and I will do all you desire concerning the cedar and cypress logs. My servants shall bring them down from Lebanon to the sea. I will float them in rafts by sea to the place you indicate to me, and will have them broken apart there. Then you can take them away, and you shall fulfill my desire by giving food for my household." Then Hiram gave Solomon cedar and cypress logs according to all his desire. And Solomon gave Hiram 20,000 cores of wheat as food for his household, and 20 cores of pressed oil. Thus Solomon gave to Hiram year by year. So Yahweh gave Solomon wisdom, as he had promised him. And there was peace between Hiram and Solomon, and the two of them made a treaty together. Then King Solomon raised up a labor force out of all Israel, and the labor force was 30,000 men. And he sent them to Lebanon, 10,000 a month in shifts. They were 1 month in Lebanon, 2 months at home. Adoniram was in charge of the labor force. Solomon had 70,000 who carried burdens, and 80,000 who quarried stone in the mountains, besides 3,300 from the chiefs of Solomon's deputies, who supervised the people who labored in the work. And the king commanded them to quarry large stones, costly stones, and hewn stones, to lay the foundation of the temple. So Solomon's builders, Hiram's builders, and the Gebelites quarried them, and they prepared timber and stones to build the temple. So far the reading of God's inspired and inerrant word, and we see that this is still about how the Lord was fulfilling his promise to Solomon. We have that comment added to remind us that that's what the Lord is describing to us, what the Spirit, who is the Lord, is describing to us in this section of 1 Kings. You see in verse 12, "So Yahweh gave Solomon wisdom as he had promised him." And it's not just promises to Solomon. There's also a promise to David that is being fulfilled here. Solomon actually sends to Hiram, and he doesn't just give kind of the logistical reason why it would be Solomon to build and not David to build, which is David was too busy fighting wars to start such a big domestic construction project. But also a promise. And behold, I propose to build a house for the name of Yahweh my God, as Yahweh spoke to my father David, saying, "Your son, whom I will set on your throne in my place, he shall build the house for my name." So there's the Solomon, the promise to Solomon for wisdom, and there's the promise to David for his descendant, his son. to sit on the throne and build the house of God, the temple of God. And Solomon did this in a glorious way. So glorious that when one who was not the son of David, Nehemiah, was leading the people in the laying of the foundation of a temple after the return from the exile, those who had seen the end of this temple, of which we are just starting to see the beginning, and remembered what it was like when they saw just the foundation of what the next one was going to be, they wept because of how small and inglorious it was by comparison. And yet there is a much greater, much more glorious temple that is built by a son of David. Because the promise to which Solomon was referring here, which we hear about in 2 Samuel chapter 7, is a promise that indicates Solomon as part of its fulfillment. But the great fulfillment about the forever king who had come from David's house, and the great fulfillment of the temple itself, is the Lord Jesus and the church that he builds with himself as the foundation, or as is elsewhere written in the epistles with the apostles and prophets as the foundation, and Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone of that foundation. And then, of course, Jesus as the capstone, the crowning stone of the whole thing, because the spiritual house are all being built up into Christ, made out of living stones, some of whom I see even around this table. And so the Sidonians are very, very skilled at cutting timber, so much so that Solomon didn't just want wood, but he wanted woodworkers from Hiram and from Sidon. And we have the Lord Jesus building and the Holy Spirit applying Christ to us and fitting us together, as it were. As the scripture says, it uses that language, which means there's work to be done on each one of us as he fits us together and builds us up into Christ. And yet in this chapter, as God is fulfilling this promise to Solomon and fulfilling this promise to David, there is all of this activity and wisdom, only the most quality materials, only the most skilled workers, thousands and thousands of them, and according to the wisdom of Solomon, working in shifts, so that it wasn't just 10,000 men who would get tired and be away from their families for too long. He picks 30,000, and then they're 1 month on and then 2 months off, which, if you were faced with being a laborer, two-thirds of the time being time off is a pretty good deal. And you see the wisdom of Solomon even there. But this monumental effort to prepare the foundation and some of the building materials for the temple that was coming, the temple that was not anywhere near as glorious as the one that is being built now by the Son of David, who sits on the throne and who builds his church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so we should rejoice that the church is Jesus' work. It's a fulfillment of promise to David about his descendant who would build the temple. And this is helpful when, whether the church congregationally speaking, or more often, because you spend more time with them, the church in your home, your parents, your brothers and sisters, your children, when they show that they are still being worked on by the Holy Spirit in order to be fit together, and thus, and we're still sinful, and we wear upon each other, and so much of New Testament instruction is instruction in being patient with one another and tender and kind and forgiving and bearing with one another and believing all things and hoping all things and what to do when you're sinned against and confessing your sins to one another and how to treat those who treat you badly, not just outside of the church, but even and especially inside the church. And one of the things that helps you obey all of those commands is to realize that we have the glorious forever King, the Lord Jesus. And one of the ways that he displays his glory and his wisdom is in how he is building the church together. And your brothers and sisters and parents, the other members of the congregation, are his chosen materials that he is working upon. And some of the work that he has called you to in kingly wisdom and mercy is work for the building up of the church. And so even in 1 Kings 5, as we see some of the details about how the Lord brought about through Solomon the building of the type, that which looked forward to the final and ultimate temple of God, we can be impressed with how God gave him wisdom, God gave him favor in the eyes of Hiram. God was already preparing Solomon to be able to receive these things from Hiram by the good relationship that Hiram had with his dad, with David. And so the providence of God went even before the promise of God and prepared the way in that way. And we can marvel at the Lord's work here in 1 Kings 5 and all the more in our life, in our church, in our home, in each of us. Give him praise and count it a privilege to participate in it. Let's ask him to help us do that. Our Father in heaven, we praise you for the marvelous providence by which you brought about the building of the first great temple. But we praise you all the more for the providence and wisdom in which you are building the new temple in the new Jerusalem. We ask that you would give us eyes to see the glory of Christ in his church and in his work in the church, and that you would give us hearts to rejoice over him and his wisdom, to humbly be amazed that you give us the privilege of participating in his work, that you would give us diligence and cheerfulness and patience and tenderness with one another in light of what we know ultimately to be true about the work you are doing in your church. We do pray for your church, especially more broadly as she is in a season of being brought very low theologically, the impurity of her worship, the lack of spiritual life, the worldliness of her members, the timidity of her preachers and so forth, Lord. We pray that you would make us to remember that it is Christ who builds her. And we ask that you would bring a season of waxing strength and that he would be glorified by new reformation and revival, and the building of his church would show more clearly, more obviously, his power, his wisdom, his authority, his glory. Glorify your Son, our Lord Jesus, through whom also we ask this prayer. Amen.
Amen.